Alright, so we're going to pick it up today from Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah about 5 lines from the bottom. So the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says, Hamaitzi Eichlin Pachas Mikashir. Let's say you carry out food, but it's less than the shear. So it's less than a gregarious for food, so you did not break the Torah on a biblical level. However, the food, so let's say you bring out a can of tuna, and there's a little bit of tuna left, not enough to be chayiv, so you're potter on the tuna. What about the kli itself? What about the fact that you're carrying out the can? So says the Mishnah, potter afal kli. You're potter on the kli itself as well. Shakvi tfeilolai, because you're not interested in the kli, and the kli is considered tofel, insubordinate. It's irrelevant. It's secondary compared to the food itself. Meaning, and this is the aside that Rav Moshe Feinstein uses. Not exactly this Mishnah, but the concept of why you're allowed to open up cans on Shabbos according to Rav Moshe. It's a shayluch as anishes machem, but according to Rav Moshe, you're allowed to open up cans. Every time you open up a can on Shabbos, l'char, you're making a vessel. So he says the vessel is considered irrelevant. The ikar is the food. You're not interested in the vessel. The vessel's not. That's not considered making a vessel. That's just the shell of a nut. That's how he calls it. It's nothing. It's tofel. And you see from this mission as well, because you're not interested in the vessel, you're just carrying the vessel because it's a vehicle for the food. The ikur determination of whether your chayiv is going to be the food, and if you're not carrying enough food to be chayiv, then you're not going to be chayiv for the vessel as well. Similarly, the Mishnah says, "As a chay b'mita, if you carry a live person on a bed." Sleeping, so you pick him up with on a bed. Pater alfa mita, shamita tfeilo. So you're pater on the bed because the bed is considered, you're not interested in the bed, and the bed is considered secondary to the person. Now you're also pater on the person because there's a concept in halacha that we're going to see the mission, the Gemara is going to talk about, which is called chai noises atzmai. There's some sort of concept that when you lift up a live person, live weight is easier to carry than dead weight. And the reason is because the person tries to sort of help you. He maneuvers himself to make himself more easily able to be lifted. And therefore, it's considered as if two people are carrying you. So if you lift up a 10-year-old kid on your shoulder, you're not going to be chayiv min ha-Torah for that, because the kid makes it easier for you to carry, so it's like there's a partnership. So it's like two people carrying, which is only an iser derabanan. So therefore, if you carry out a live person on a bed, you're potter for the live person, because chaynais es atzmai, it's considered as if he's carrying himself with you. And you're potter on the bed, because the bed is considered botel. Says the Mishnah, es hamis b'mita, but if you carry a dead body on a bed, then you're chayiv. Because a dead body doesn't have this concept called chaynais es atzmai, dead weight, is definitely considered carrying. So if you carry a dead body, you're chayiv. Similarly, b'chein kezayis min ameis, if you carry outside of your house, you take a kezayis of a dead body. There's a kezayis of a flesh from a dead body, and you take it out of your house. Kezayis min an avela, or kezayis of an avela, or chadoshim na sheretz, or part of a sheretz the size of a lentil. All of these scenarios, you're chayiv. Why? These are very small amounts. The reason is because it's considered chashiv. Why is it considered chashiv? Because think about it. If you have a piece of a sheretz in your room the size of a lentil's tiny. You have a sheretz there. It's able to give tumma. You don't want tumma sitting in your house. So when you remove it from your premises, that's considered a chashiv act because it's removing tumma from your house. It's considered chashiv because you're removing tumma from your premises. So too, if you take a kezayis from a dead body and take it out of your house, that's considered chashiv because right now you don't have tumma in your house anymore. And therefore it's considered chashiv because it's removing tumma from your premises. And removing tumma from your premises is considered a chashiv amaisa because you're accomplishing something. Rav Shimon Poiter, but Rav Shimon disagrees. He holds that you're potter in these cases. Why? Because we know that Rav Shimon holds Malacha She'ein Sricha L'Gufa is potter, which means that for you to be considered breaking Shabbos, it's not enough just to do the act that they did in the Mishkan. It has to be for the same reason, meaning it has to be for a constructive purpose. Now, in the Mishkan, when they carried stuff, they carried it because they wanted it. So if you carry bread because you want the bread, that's considered a malacha hatzricha leguva. That's a constructive act. But over here, what's happening? You're taking a dead body, you're taking a dead piece of meat, a nevela, you're taking a piece of a sheretz out of your premises, not because you want them, but because you don't want them. It's because you want them out of here. So therefore, the carrying is malacha she'ein seichel gufa. You're doing the same malacha of carrying, but not for the same reason. You're doing it for a destructive purpose. Now, it's positive that you don't have tumah, but again, it's just removing a negativity. It's not because you want the item. So therefore, Rav Shimon holds in these cases potter, because that's what Rav Shimon calls malacha she'ein seichel gufa, and because you don't want the items, you're just carrying them to get out of your premises, then it's considered potter. You're only chayiv if you carry, because you want the item itself. That's Rav Shimon's opinion. Okay, let's start the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Hamaitzi Eichlin Kashir. So let's say you carry out a gregris in a vessel. So you're chayiv for the food, but in Bekli, chayiv al Eichlin apatal agli, but you're patal on the vessel, because as we said in the Mishnah, you're not interested in the vessel. The vessel is not necessary for you, it's secondary to the food. So you're only chayiv for the food, not for the vessel. Now what happens if you want the vessel as well? I want the food to come with me, but I also want the vessel. I want both. Imaklit sarach loy, let's say you want both, and chayiv afal akli, you're chayiv twice. So you're chayiv, so if you take out a can of tuna, and let's assume tuna is a gregris, I don't know, let's just say so you have a can of tuna with the can, but you want the can because you're gonna use it as a cup to drink from. So you want both. Then you're chayiv for one action, you're chayiv two karbanos. One for the food, one for the vessel. So the Gemara says, Shema mina, we should learn from here, Oichel shnei kezeise chelev, behelem echon chayiv shtayim. Here's the problem. Usually, if you, in one lapse of judgment, in one forgetting, if you eat two pieces of chelev, you only chayiv one. So over here, you had one lapse of judgment, you carried out two items in one lapse of judgment. L'chora, why are you chayiv twice? In one lapse of judgment, I carried the food with the vessel. I'm chayiv twice, that's what the Gemara says. But why? In one lapse of judgment, usually, if in one lapse of judgment you do the same avera twice, in here carrying, you usually only chayiv one. So why is it that over here are you chayiv twice? That's the Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Ashi, or Rav Sheshes, Hacham Ayeskin, and Kegoin, go to the next page. Kegoin, Sheshogeg Aloichlin, Behizid Alkli. So the Gemara says, no, really you only chayiv one carbon. It says chayiv twice. Here's the case. I accidentally carried out the food, so I'm chayiv a karbon for the food, but I on purpose carried out the vessel, so I'm chayiv the death penalty for the vessel. So when it says chayiv twice, it doesn't mean two karbonos, it means one karbon and one death penalty. So the Gemara says, so that, therefore it's not related, therefore it's unrelated to the concept that we had before, which is, right, we have a concept that if you do, in one forgetting, you do two averis by accident, the same aver twice, you only get one carbon. So why over here, if in one forgetting, do you carry out the food with the vessel, you chayiv twice, the Gemara says, no, you're not chayiv two carbonos. You only have one carbon. What does it mean chayiv twice? One carbon and one death penalty. So the Gemara says, maskil Ravashi. Ravashi says, ha'af al klikatani, but he says, you chayiv even for the vessel. That implies that it's the same carbon, just a second carbon. It does not sound like it's carbon and death penalty. So therefore, says Ravashi, Elam Ravashi, Kegoin Sheshogag Bezeh Ubezeh, V'noidaloi, V'chazer V'noidaloi, Uplug to Rav Yochan, Rishim Malakish. So if you remember, we had a Machlokes Rishim Malakish and Rav Yochan, like this. Everybody agrees, if you do the same Avera twice and one forgetting, you only bring one carbon. Everybody agrees to that. There was a Machlokes Rav Yochan and Rish Lakish in the following situation. What if you do the same Avera twice and one forgetting, but you become aware of your mistake in intervals? So I eat chalev twice and one forgetting, but instead of someone's like, oh, you just ate chalev twice, then you only have to bring one carbon. Someone's like, oh, you ate chalev. Okay. An hour later, it's like, you actually ate a second time you ate chalev. So you became aware of it in intervals. According to Rav Yochanan, if you became aware of it in intervals, you chayev two karbanos. Even though it was in one forgetting, but because the awareness came in intervals, you chayev two karbanos. Rish Lakish disagrees. So the Gemara says over here, when the Braisa says that if you carry the vessel and the food, you chayev two karbanos, even though it was one forgetting, it means you became aware of it. So you carry the food and the vessel at 10 o'clock in the morning. An hour later, someone's like, oh, you carried the food. An hour, and then at 12 o'clock, someone's like, you carried the vessel. So because you came aware of the problem in intervals, according to Rav Yochanan, you chayev twice, and that's the opinion of that Braisa, it follows Rav Yochanan. Let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, so chayev b'mita patal amita. So we said in the Mishnah that if you carry out a live person on a bed, you're patal on the live person. Why? Because there's a concept called chai noise es atzmai, which is that when you carry a person, he makes himself easier to be more easily carryable, if that's a word, and therefore you're potter because he's helping you. So the Gemara wants to know, who's the author of that concept called Chai Noises Atzmai, that if you carry a live person, it's not the same as carrying a dead person. So Leim Masis and Rav Nosson Hivalei Rabbanon. That is the opinion of Nosson and not the Rabbanon. Why? D'tanya, Hamaitzi Behem Chayiv Ha'oif L'Rishus HaRavim, Bein Chayin Bein Shchutin Chayiv. The Chacham says as follows, if you carry out an animal to the Rishus HaRavim, whether the animal's alive or dead, you're Chayiv. Even if it's alive, you're Chayiv. Rav Nosson Oimer Al Shchutin Chayiv. Rav Nosson says, if they're dead, you're Chayiv, because it's dead weight. Al Chayin Potter, but if it's alive, it's Potter, Shachay Noises Atzmai. So, Rav Nosson says, if you carry out a live animal, the Rabban hold, if you carry out a live animal, you're Chayiv. Just like if it's a dead animal, Rav Nosson disagrees. He says, no, Chai Noises Atzmai. So you see from here that the concept of making a differentiation between live weight and dead weight is the opinion of Rav Nosson and not the Rabban. Because Rav Nosson and the Rabbanon disagree about carrying out a live animal, are you chayiv? Rav Nosson says no, because chay nois esatmei. The Rabbanon say yes. So it seems to be that the Rabbanon are against the notion of chay nois esatmei. So the Gemara says no, Amar Rava, afilu tem Rabbanon, it could even be the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon will make a differentiation between live weight and dead weight by people. And they only feel it's the same between live and dead by animals. Ad kamloi pligi rabbon leodor of Nosson, elebe behema chayva oif the homachloikis, pin rabbon and Rav Nosson, is whether you say chay noises atzmai. This concept that living weight is easier, that's only true by behema chayva oif. By behema chayva oif, but when it comes to people, says the Gemara, when it comes to people, meaning, if that's why the Rabbanon hold, there's no such thing as live weight being a kula, because live animals push themselves down. If you try to lift up an animal, it pushes, it squirms. It makes it difficult to pick it up. So therefore, they don't believe in the concept. But a living person, who supports himself, meaning, the Rabbanon agree that there's a concept of chay noises atzmai by people, because people allow themselves to be easier when they're lifted. But when it comes to animals, that's when they disagree. By the way, I mentioned it before, but I don't think it got on the recording. Today's learning should be Lili Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev Halevi. Shabbos Shabbat Aliyah. So therefore, like this, so just to summarize where we are, Rav Nosson holds chay noises atzmai for sure, by animals and by people. The Rabbanon disagree by animals. They say, no, there's no such thing as chay noises atzmai. If you carry out a live animal, you're a chayiv. The question is, what do the Rabbanon say about people? Right now we're saying that the Rabbanon agree that by people, if you carry out a living person, it's only the Rabbanon as opposed to a dead person. And the only reason why the Rabbanon do not believe in chay noises atzmai, that's by an animal. But by people, they do believe in it. So just in summation, if you lift up a person, if you carry a person, according to the Rabbanon, according to Rav Nosson, it's for sure the Rabbanon, and according to the Rabbanon as well, it's also the Rabbanon. That's the notion that we're saying right now. So the Gemara says like this. Right now, again, the main point is to realize that we're saying is that according to the Rabbanon, if you carry a person, it's only the Rabbanon. It's only Nisa the Rabbanon because Chay Nois is Atzmai, and the Rabbanon only disagree with Rav Nosson regarding animals, but by people they agree. So let me give you an intro to the next Gemara, and you'll see what the problem is. There's a prohibition, midrabanon. Chazal did not allow you to sell animals to Goyim. The reason was as follows. The reason is like this. When you own an animal, we say it in Kiddush, uvehem techa, you're obligated to make sure that your animals keep Shabbos. So therefore, if you have an ox, you can't just let the ox plow on Shabbos. You have to stop it. Now, therefore, if you were to lend your ox to a guy, or even rent it to a guy, it would still be usher for them to work on Shabbos, because they're yours. They're owned by you. The fact that you lent them to a guy is irrelevant. Chazal, therefore, ushered selling animals to goyim, because people will not understand the difference between a sale, which is obviously allowed, because you cut ties completely, and a loan, which is a problem. So if I loan my animal to a guy, that would be a problem. If I sell it, technically, it would be fine for him to work on Shabbos, he's no longer my animal. But Chazal understood that people will not recognize the difference between a sale and a loan, and therefore Chazal ushered it in all situations. Comes Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is mate besus. It comes up a lot of times in Shas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira allows you to sell a horse to a guy. Why? What's the concern? The concern is that if you sell him an ox, that he'll have the ox plow on Shabbos. People are not going to understand the difference that between a sale and a loan, and eventually they'll have the ox, they'll lend an ox to a guy, and the ox is going to work on Shabbos. Now, when an ox works on Shabbos, that's a biblical form of prohibition of Shabbos. That's chayrish. Now, by a horse, though, what's the worst thing a horse can do? It could carry a person on its back, right? You're supposed to make sure that your animals don't break Shabbos. Because of this, Chazal asserted selling it to a guy, because gezeira, you might come to have the animal work when it's alone. Fine. So we're afraid of the animals working on Shabbos. So buy an ox, buy a donkey, buy things, you know, things, animals that schlep, items or works in the field. Those are biblical prohibitions. So if your animal were to do that on Shabbos, that would be a biblical prohibition for you because it says uvemtecha. That's why Chazal asserted selling it to a guy, because we don't want the animal to do a biblical prohibition under any circumstance. However, says Rav Yehuda ben Maseira, they could sell a horse. Why? What's the worst thing a horse can do? It carries a person. Even if it carries a person on Shabbos, it's only a rabbinic prohibition because chai noisa es atzmai. So therefore, because the whole worst thing a horse can do is only rabbinic, therefore, Chazal, we're not extending that prohibition regarding horses to sales. Amar le Rav Ada bar Ava le Rav Avah, the Tanan says in the Mishnah, Ben Beseira Mate Besus. Ben Beseira allows you to sell to a guy a horse, and he's not concerned that it'll lead to people loaning horses to a guy, because worst case scenario, let's say they loan a horse, and the horse is used on Shabbos. It's only a rabbinic prohibition, so we're not going to put up fences. Gzeira otu a gzeira derabanan. It's called a gzeira l'gzeira. We're not going to put up a fence. We're not going to be concerned, because again, worst case scenario, if the horse is used on Shabbos, it's going to carry a person, which is only a rabbinic prohibition. V'tanya, b'meser matir b'sos, m'nei shehuna oisa b'y melocha, she'en chayav l'chadas. It only does a rabbinic prohibition by carrying people. And chay noisa satzmai. Now pause. Now who says chay noisa satzmai? So originally we thought it was just Rabbi Nassan. But now we're saying that even the Rabbanan agreed that there's a problem of that Chai Nais Esatzmai is a concept by people. Again, we start off with the Machloikis, Rabbi Nassan and the Rabbanan. Is there a concept of Chai Nais Esatzmai by animals? Meaning, if you carry an animal that's alive, is that rabbinic or biblical? The Rabbanan said biblical, Rabbi Nassan says rabbinic. We assumed same Machloikis would be for people. Carry a person, Rabbanan say biblical, Rabbi Nassan says rabbinic. Now we say, no. Everybody agrees, even the Rabbanan agree, that if you carry a person, it's only rabbinic. Ben Becerra's whole notion is that a horse's job, which is to carry people, is only rabbinic. It says the Braisa, V'amr Rav Yechanan, Ben Becerra v'Rav Nassan amr de'avechan. Rav Yechanan says, Ben Becerra follows Rav Nassan. So here's the problem. This is very clear that Rav Yochanan is saying that Ben Becerra, who says that having a horse carry a person is only rabbinic, because what do horses do? They carry people, and it's only rabbinic, and he's following Rabbi Nosson Dafka. That implies that the Rabbanan disagree. So right now you're trying to convince me that the Rabbanan agree that no, the Rabbanan Ramoda Chaynois is Atzmai, that the Rabbanan agree that if you carry a person, it's only the Rabbanan, and they agree with Rav Nosson, there's no machlokas, they only disagree by animals, but by people they agree. So why does Rav Yochanan say that Ben Becerra's whole point is that a horse's job is only rabbinic, and he says, oh, that follows Rav Nosson. According to you, it follows everybody. Why don't you say it follows the Rabbanan as well? It must be that the Rabbanan don't agree with Rav Nassan by people. And it must be that the Rabbanan disagree by all life forms. That carrying all life forms, both animals and people, is deraisa. And that's why Ben Becerra's whole notion, which is that a horse's job on Shabbos is only rabbinic, because Chai Nais Esatzmai is only going according to Rabbi Nassan and not Rabbanan. I amrit delay pliga Rabbanan led Rav Nassan, el behim in chai va'oif. So if you're telling me, I mean, the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Becerra, who said that a horse's job is only rabbinic, follows Rabbi Nassan, and Rabbi Nassan only, that implies that the Rabbanan disagree. So it must be that the Rabbanan do not see eye to eye with Rabbi Nassan regarding people. And this is not like what we said before. So the Gemara says, no, really, they agree that by people it's only rabbinic. And Ben Becerra was not talking about a horse that will carry people, it's talking about a horse that will carry animals. So again, Ben Becerra's whole point is that the horse's job on Shabbos is only rabbinic, so we thought he was talking about people, and carrying people is only rabbinic. And it says, oh, it's just like Rabbi Nassan and not like the Rabbanan. No. If it were for people, if it were a people horse, it would be according to everybody. This is dafka, an animal horse, a horse that carries animals. And that's why it's dafka according to Rabbi Nassan, not the Rabbanan. This is a horse that carries birds. So the Gemara says, are there horses that carry birds? Yeah. It could be vayodan were falconry. It was a type of hunting where they would put, you know, live birds of prey on a horse, and they would travel, and they would hunt for game, for fun, whatever it was. So therefore, that's the case. So when Ben Becerra was matter with a sus, of course, according to everybody, a horse for people's fun, because it's only rabbinic. The chiddush was, even if the horse was for birds, it carries birds, so that the Rabbanan feel is deraisa, that he's following Rabbi Nassan only. Okay, so you have a machloikes regarding Rabbi Nassan and the Rabbanan, whether there's a concept chaynes as atzmai, whether it might only be limited to people, it might be limited to animals, it might be people as well. Rabbi Yechonon umoide Rabbi Nassan bekapus. Rabbi Nassan agrees if the animal is tied up, then it's deraisa. Meaning Rabbi Nassan's whole notion is called chaynes as atzmai, which means that when you lift up an animal or a person, they make it easier if you lift it up. But if they're tied up and wrapped up, then it's deraisa because they're not helping you. They're like it's like dead weight. Amr le Rav Ada bar Masl Abaya ay va ani parsoi kemanta kafisi damu. Vam Rav Yechonon ben Becerra v'Rav Nassan amar derechad. You're telling me that if it's wrapped up, everybody agrees it's deraisa. The problem is these Persian men, apparently Persians. I'll read you the way Rashi describes it. Rashi says about Persians that they're wrapped up. Rashi says sharoichin mutafim bebegodim, that they wrapped up in clothing. Their clothing wraps them up, and not only are they tied up physically, but Rashi points out that they live like very pampered lives. They don't like to walk on the floor, so they really are like dead weight. Persian men, they were very heavy. They're not Jewish Persians. They were very, very heavy, and they were wrapped up. They would have like these clothing like a swaddle, like a baby, so they were wrapped up. And so therefore, if you're telling me that by Persians, by a horse carrying a Persian man would be deraisa, why does, we start off by saying that Rabbi Nassan holds all, you could sell a horse to any person, any guy, because worst case scenario, a horse is only going to do a rabbinic prohibition, because it's chaynes as atzmai. Now we're saying that Rabbi Nassan is mode when it's tied up, but Persian men are tied up, and he has no problem selling a horse to a Persian guy and to Persian people. Why? Because he feels there's no difference. Rabbi Nassan never makes a differentiation between Persian men and non-Persian men. And if you're telling me that when it's wrapped up, it's you know, a tied-up animal is different than a non-tied-up animal, well, Persian men are tied up. So how come he's never made any differentiation between Persian men and non-Persian men? So the Gemara says, no, Hassan, by Persian men, they're not really tied up. Ramas Ruchu Denakale, they're the Bali Gaiva. They look like they're tied up, and they look like they won't walk. They look like they'll only take horses. They won't walk. They're not dead weight. They're Bali Gaiva. They like to show their arrogance, and they sit there all wrapped up, kilu, you know, like they're malachim over there. But it's not. They're not actually tied up. It's not like when you tie up an animal where it's mamish, you know, immobile. Persian men are not immobile. Dahu pardashta derotach marko iloya verot flossi parse bekrai. There was a certain Persian officer. The king was angry, and the Persian officer outran the king for 3 parsa, which is a couple miles. Meaning, when they have to move, they have to move. They're not immobile. Rabbi Nassan only agrees when the animal is completely immobile. These animals, Persian people, are not immobile. They might look immobile, but they're not immobile. Okay. Es hames b'mita chayiv v'chin kazayis min hames. So we had in the Mishnah, weiter, a machloikes between Rav Shimon and the Tanakama. If you carry a dead body or pieces of a dead body out of the house, so your intention is to get it out of the house, to get the tumah out of the house. So the question is, are you chayiv? So Tanakam says, yeah, you carried it. And Rav Shimon says, no, because it's a malacha shenitzich legufa. You're not carrying these items because you want the items. You're carrying to get them out of here. When you're carrying them to get them out of here, that's called a malacha shenitzich legufa. That's not because you want the item. That's not the same reason they did in the Mishkan. You're doing it to get rid of it. If it's to get rid of it, that's considered destructive, and it's not chayiv. Amr Rab Bar Chanan, Rav Yechonon, Vam Rav Yosef, Amr Rav Shimon Lakish, Poyta Hari Rav Shimon, the next page, Af B'moitzi Es Hameis L'Kavroi. Even if you're carrying out the dead body, there's 2 reasons why you carry out a dead body of your house on Shabbos. One is to get the Tumah out of your house. Because every time, you know, there's a Kohen who wants to come by, I can't bring him in the house when there's a dead body, get the dead body out of here. That's for sure, Malach HaShem Tzich L'Gufa, because your mamish's intention is to get it out of here. But says Rav Shimon, Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon holds, you're still potter, even if your intention is to bury the dead body, meaning I'm bringing it to the cemetery so that it'll be able to be buried right after Shabbos. So you say, oh, that's considered constructive. No, that's still, I want it out of here. That's still, I want this out of here. Carrying is only chayiv if you want the item. Over here, when you're carrying the dead body, even though your intention is in order to allow it to be buried, that's still not malacha shein, that's still not malacha shetzich leguva. That's called malacha shein tzich leguva. You're still not interested in the item itself. You might be, listen, is it more productive? Yeah, it's more productive, but you're still not interested in the item. You don't want the dead body. You still want the dead body out of here. For one time, you want it out of here because you're a tomb in the house. Now you want it out of here so that it can be buried. You still want it out of here. As long as you want the item out of here, and not that you want the item, you're not carrying it for its purpose, that's still malacha she'in tzrich legufa and still potter. Amar Rava, but Rava says, u'moidim Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon is moda b'marlach b'bo. If you carry out like a shovel, because you want to dig with it. Or Sefer Torah liquor store, you carry out a Sefer Torah because you want the Sefer Torah. That, of course, he's moda. That, of course, he would say is chayiv. He only objects to a dead body because over there you don't want the item. You want the item out of here. But if you take the Sefer Torah out to read from the Sefer Torah, you chayiv. So the Gemara says, pshita, of course. Dinami amalacha shetzich leguva, amalacha shetzich leguva, the Rav Shana heichem hashkechas. So the Gemara says, of course. If you're telling me that Rav Shimon would hold, what's the chiddush of the Gemara? If you take a Sefer Torah out to Rosh Hashanah to read it, you're chayiv. Ooh, Rav Shimon holds you chayiv. If that's potter, then there's no. Then what are you chayiv for? Like, if that's considered a malacha shein tzrich legufa, if I would tell you that's potter, then what are you chayiv for? You're taking a Sefer Torah out because you want the Sefer Torah. Like, what? You have to tell me a chiddush that Rav Shimon holds that you're chayiv in that case. If you're not chayiv for that, then what are you chayiv for? So the Gemara says, "Ma'u deseim adik legufa legufa kigoy mar lasses leitas v'lachbar Sefer Torah lahagiv alikrus by kamash melant." The Gemara says, "I could have thought for a moment that you're only chayiv if you carry out the item because you want the item and it's beneficial for the item itself. Like an example, you carry out the Sefer Torah so that you could read it." And there's a cipher there who could fix it. So it's beneficial for you and for the Sefer Torah itself. You might think that that's when you're chayiv, but if it's just beneficial for you, you could be potter, kamash malon, that Rav Shimon holds your chayiv in both cases. So that's what Gemara says. So as long as you want the item, you're chayiv. So we said it before in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that there's a machloikas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon, Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda, really, if you carry out a dead body because you want it out of here, is it considered malacha sheitzich legufa or malacha sheitzich legufa chayiv or potter? According to the Tanakhama, you're chayiv d'oraisa. According to Rav Shimon, you're potter. Now, potter means potter avalasa. It's still rabbinically prohibited. So, ahu shechva d'ava bedurukta. There was a certain dead body in this town of Durukta, and they had to take it out. They had to carry it into the public domain, I guess. It was in the sun, they had to transfer it. Or they had to go from the public domain to the private domain. They had to transfer it. So the Gemara says, Shara of Nach Bar Yitzchak lafuke lekarmelis. Rav Nach Bar Yitzchak permitted them to take it out to a Carmelis. Not to the public domain, but he allowed to take it from a private domain to a Carmelis. So Amar Lei, Rav Yochanan achur demar b'rei de Ravina l'Rav Nach Bar Yitzchak, Rav Yochanan said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kiman, he thought what was happening was, he thought that they were carrying this to a public domain, and he felt that the reason why they're doing it is because they're following Rav Shimon of our Mishnah, that felt that when you carry a dead body out because you want it out of here, it's called a malacha shein tzrich legufa. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon, are you following Rav Shimon that you think it's permitted because Rav Shimon holds it, it's permitted? But Eimer de Potter Rav Shimon Mechiv Chatas, Yisur Darbana Mi'ika. Rav Shimon doesn't hold it's mutter, Rav Shimon just holds potter. Potter means it's not biblical, but it's still rabbinic. So if it's still Asa Darabanan, why are you doing this? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Hualikim, my God, meaning, like, I swear, Dials Be'at, you could have taken this out. Meaning, it's completely permissible to do such a thing. Why? V'afil Rav Yehuda Shari. Not only is it permitted according to Rav Shimon, it's mutter even according to Rav Yehuda, who holds that carrying out a dead body for whatever reason is biblical. Why? I never said they can carry it to a public domain, which is biblical. L'Karmelis Kamina. I told them they can carry it to a Karmelis, which is a rabbinic domain. It's like a main street where it's not public, it's not Times Square, and it's not private house. It's like a side street, a Carmelis. So it's only rabbinic to carry into a Carmelis. So because the whole prohibition is only rabbinic, God will cover up Riyash, Adaychas, Leisesh, Abatayra. You know, Chazal, the whole thing is only rabbinic. The Rabbanon allowed you to do a rabbinic prohibition if it meant human dignity. To have a dead body sitting there rotting, That's lack of human dignity. So he allowed them to take it to a Carmelist. It has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about carrying it into a public domain. This is to a Carmelist. Therefore, everyone would agree that that's permitted on Shabbos, because the whole prohibition is only Derabbanon, and because the whole prohibition is only Derabbanon, they are not going to be Machmer when it comes to Kavod HaBrios. Okay. Let's just go a little bit weiter. To the Mishnah, the sugya to the Mishnah goes as follows. We talked about in the Mishnah that if you carry out a kezias of a dead body, you're chayiv, because a kezias is able to transfer tumah. So as long as it's in your house, it's giving off tumah. When you take it out, you're accomplishing something because you're removing tumah from your house. So the Gemara says like this: Tanan Hasam, Hatoylish Simani Tumah VeHichva HaMechaya Over Beloisase. The halacha is, there are two things that make tsaras, certain types of tsaras. There are two signs of certain types of tsaras that will make it tummy. One is if it has two white hairs inside the tsaras, inside the affliction. Another one is if there's healthy skin inside the affliction. So let's say you decide like this. You're a mitzaira. You see that there's healthy skin inside the affliction, so you know that I'm tummy now. So what you do is, let me scrape it off. I'll get rid of the healthy skin. So by the time the kayan comes, it's gone. Or I have two white hairs, let me pluck those two white hairs out from the affliction area. That way when the kohen comes, he'll look at it and he'll say, I'm tahar. The halacha is that if you do that, you're over belaysa say, it's a transgression of a biblical commandment. You're not allowed to tamper with the affliction. And if you do, it's a biblical prohibition. Now Itzmar, here's the question. Achas mishtayim, if you have two white hairs there, and you pluck out one of them, that's chayiv, because two makes you tame, one is tahar. So you made yourself tahar. That's a biblical prohibition. You're not allowed to tamper. The question is, what if there are three hairs there and you pluck out one? So there's still two, so you're still tame. But, so do we say that you're not over any prohibition because you didn't tamper with the crime scene because, you know, you're still tame? Or do we say, listen, you start off with three, now you only have two. So you know that if you're accidentally rub into something, it's possible that hair, so you accomplish something by minimizing your chances of staying tummy. You didn't make yourself tahar, but you minimize your chances of staying tummy. That's the question. Achas mishalosh, if there are three hairs, three white hairs, and you plucked out one of the three. Rabbi Nachman amar chayiv, Rabbi Sheshes amar potter. Rabbi Nachman says chayiv, and Rabbi Sheshes says potter. Rabbi Nachman says chayiv, ahani maisav. He says, you're chayiv when you pluck out one hair out of three hairs. What did you do? You accomplished something. Why? The mishtak l'chad acheres, because now if one of the hairs were somehow become removed on its own, azla tumah, you'll be tahar. So you accomplished something. You didn't completely remove the tumah, but you got yourself closer. Rishesh is amar potter. Rishesh says, no potter. Hashtam yik azla tumah. Rishesh says, what'd you do? You started with three, you still have two. You still tame. You started tame, you still tame. You accomplished nothing. Minimizing tumah, minimizing your chances of being tame is nothing. As long as you're tame, you're tame. So the Gemara says like this. So what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Amar Sheshes. It's a little bit tricky to the Mishnah, and then once you get to the Mishnah, it's a lot easier. Amar Sheshes. Mino amino, how do I know this? Titnan, because the Mishnah says, V'chein kezayis min hames. If you carry out a kezayis of a dead body from the house, u'kezayis min avei l'chayiv. You're chayiv because you accomplished something. You remove the tumah from your house. Now, let's say you carried out a half a kezayis. You're potter, because what'd you do? Half a kezayis didn't accomplish anything. It's not enough to make tameh, so you just remove nothing. Chatzi zayis potter. I have a tanya, but there's a brisa that says chatzi zayis chayiv. There's a brisa that says that if you carried out a half a kezayis from your house, you're chayiv. So what's the case? My lav hadatanya chayiv. It must be like this. When you're chayiv for carrying out a half a kezayis, is da'apik chatzi zayis mekezayis. The case is where you have a full kezayis in your house. So your house is now permeating with tumah. So you take half of that kezayis and remove it. So you, in essence, remove the tumah. Think of the full kezayis like two hairs of a mitzvah. You plucked out one. You went from tameh to tahar. That's why you're chayiv. And hadatan potter, and when it says that you're potter, that's talking about a case, where you have 1.5 kezayisim in your house, 1.5. I take out 0.5. So did I make it less likely? I minimize the tumah, but I'm still tame. It's very similar to three hairs. I start off with three hairs. I pluck one. Still tame. I made less of it. So too. And Rav Sheshes holds that when you have three hairs of a mitzvah and you pluck out one, you're tahar. You're not. I'm sorry, say it again. Three hairs, you pluck out one, you're still tamei, and therefore you're putter. You didn't accomplish anything. He says, and my source is from this Mishnah. The Mishnah implies that if you take out a half a kazayis, you're putter. Why? Because we're talking about a case where there's 1.5 kazayisim, like three hairs. I take out a half of a kazayis, so that's not enough to accomplish anything anyway. So therefore, because it's not enough to accomplish anything anyway, therefore I'm putter. Similar to the Gemara, that's just 1 second. So that's the Gemara's proof. The Gemara's proof is that according to Rav Sheshes believes that if you have three hairs and you pluck out one, you're still tameh, and therefore you didn't accomplish anything, and therefore you're putter. You're not tampering with the crime scene. And his proof is from our Gemara that the Gemara implies that if you have 1.5 kazaisim, and the Mishnah says that if you pull out a half a kazais from your house, you're not chayav on Shabbos because you didn't accomplish anything. Why? Because half kazais didn't do anything. Why? Because you have one point. The assumption is you have 1.5 in the house, so the house is permeating tumah. You take half a kazais out, the house is still permeating tumah. It's like you have three hairs, you pluck out one. You didn't do anything. You made it less, more likely less. Who cares? You didn't accomplish anything. So if you didn't accomplish anything over there, so you didn't accomplish anything regarding plucking out the hairs. So Rav Nachman responds, Eidi v'edi chayiv, potet non potet, demapi chatzizayis meis gadol. Rabbi Nachman says no. Rabbi Nachman holds that when you have three hairs and you pluck out one, you're chayiv, because you made it much more likely to become tahar eventually, because now you're down to two hairs, so if one just plucks out on its own, you'll be tahar. So you accomplish something by minimizing the percentages of tumah. So he holds that if you have 1.5 kazaisim of tumah in your house, and you pull out a half a kazais, that's chayiv on Shabbos. That's significant, because you minimize tumah. When are you putter? Not when it's 1.5, when there's a whole body in the house. There's a whole body, there's 50 kazaisim. And you pull out a half a kazayis, yeah, then you're potter, because your mamash didn't accomplish anything. It's the equivalent of if there's 100 hairs. 100 hairs, you pull out one, that's nothing. But if there's three, and you go to two, three goes to two, that's considered chashiv, and that's considered significant, and that's what Rabbi Nachman says. Okay, let's go weiter. From here to the end of the Amud should be pretty easy. Okay. If you cut your fingernails with the other fingernail, so you just, you know, take one nail and pluck off the other nail on Shabbos. So, you bite your nails with your teeth. And similarly, if you remove your hair by plucking your hair, like, you know, with your fingers, just plucking it out, not with an instrument, meaning you're cutting your nails not with a scissor, but you're cutting it with your teeth or other fingernails, so too with your hair, you pluck your hairs not with a scissor, but just with your fingers. Similarly, if you pluck out the hair of the mustache with your fingers, the hair of the beard, now these last cases are a little bit different, which is a woman who braids her hair, a woman who paints her eyes, puts on makeup, a woman who combs her hair, all of these cases Rav Elazar holds is chayiv. So the cases of plucking out a nail or cutting your nails with your fingers, Rav Elazar holds chayiv. Even though you're not using an instrument, Rav Elazar holds chayiv in all those cases. And similarly, if a woman braids her hair, paints her eyes, or combs her hair, Rav Elazar also holds chayiv. We'll talk about that in a second. All these cases the Chama hold pater, because the Chama hold all of these things are not normal. They're all a shinoi. Cutting your nail is only chayiv when you use a scissor. Using your fingers or using your teeth is a rabbinic form. Similar with all the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah, the Rabbanan hold is an abnormal way to do it. It's a shinoi, and therefore you are potter. From Rav Elazar, machlekes biyad. The machlekes in Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan, Rav Eliezer and the Rabbanan, is whether you're chayiv by biting your nails. Aval bekli, but if you use a scissor, you're chayiv. Everyone agrees you're chayiv. Gemara says pshita, of course. Zubazutana, that the Mishnah specifically spoke about cutting with your fingers, cutting your nails with the other nail, or biting it. So it implies, meaning, of course, it's pashut if you use a vessel, you're chayiv. That's what geizes is. That's what shearing, like just like shearing a wool, so to shearing a person. So the Gemara says, ma'u detemer rabbanan beklin ami potter. V'adetani zubazulay dira kaychad rav yelazar kamash malon. I might think that even the Rabbanan agree that if you use a vessel, meaning even the Rabbanan hold that if you use a vessel, you're still potter. And why do they pick biting with your teeth? That was to show you the power of Rav Elazar. Meaning, Rav Eliezer holds that even if you bite your nails, you're chayiv chatas. Deraisa. The Rabbanan disagree. Says the Gemara, I'm Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says, the machlaikis is only when you bite your nails. But if you cut your fingernails, with a vessel, everyone agrees chayav. So it's a pshita, of course, poshut. So the Gemara says like this: you might think that the Rabbanon argue that in every case of cutting your nails, it's only derabanan, and they hold that goizes, shearing, is only for animals, but by people, it's only rabbinic, even with a vessel. And the reason why they chose to talk about a case of biting your nails was not to imply anything about a vessel, but just to show you that Rebbe Eliezer holds you chayv in all scenarios. Kamash malon, no, they're only arguing when you're biting your nails, but if you use a vessel, even they agree that it's chayv. Bamar of Elazar, Elazar said one more machlekes, one more point. Machlekes the atzmai, the whole machlekes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan is whether you chayv chatas when you bite your own nails, but if you bite someone else's nails, or if you cut someone else's nail with your fingers, then divrei hakol pater, everyone agrees it's pater, because that's very abnormal. To bite someone else's nails would be abnormal, and even the Rav Elazar would agree to that. He only agrees that you're chayiv when it's your own nails, because he feels that that's normal. But someone else's nails, even he would agree, is strange and pater. Pshita, the Gemara says, yeah, it's part of Tanan. The Mishnah said, your nails. The implication is, other people's nails would be different. Ma'od esem Rav Elazar chaver nam mechayiv. You might think the Rav Elazar holds that you're chayiv whether you bite your own nails or your other people's nails. But the Tani Tziparnav Lodyachikach the Rabbanan, the only reason why he picked his fingernails was to teach you the power of the Rabbanan, that they hold that it's putter in all scenarios. Kamash Mala, no, Rav Elazar holds that you're only chayiv. Rav Eliezer holds you're only chayiv when you bite your own nails, but when you bite someone else's nails, you are putter. The Mishnah says like this. V'chein asayroi, similarly plucking out hairs. Tano, hanoitel mali pi azug chayiv. If you remove with a scissor, mali pi azug, the tip of the scissor, you cut out some hairs, you're chayiv. Now, how much hairs are you chayiv for using a scissor? Kame mali pi azug, amar v'yud ashtayim. Maybe this is two hairs. If you cut out two hairs of the scissor, you're chayiv. Batanya, boy, doesn't the Braisa say lekarcha regarding, we know there's a prohibition of tearing out hairs after a dead body. Layitnu karcha b'psarechem, you're not allowed to make yourself bald. How many hairs are you not allowed to pull out for someone after someone lost somebody? The Mishnah says, Ula karcha shtayim. Regarding cutting out your hairs, it's two. The implication is that for Shabbos, using a scissor is not two, because it implies that it's dafka two for making yourself bald. For regarding the laws of Shabbos, it's a different amount. So the Gemara says, no, ema v'chein l'karcha shtayim. No, just say, and similarly, regarding plucking out hairs for a dead body, it's also two. Both are two. Okay. Tana miachi. Similarly, the Braisa teaches, Hanoitel mali piyazug b'Shabbos chayiv. If you pull out a scissors worth of hair on Shabbos from your head, you're chayiv. Bekam mali piyazug, how many hairs is this? Shtayim. Rav Yehuda says shtayim. Rav Elazar emer achas. Rav Elazar disagrees. He actually says it's one hair. Umoidim chacham l'Rav Elazar, and everyone agrees to Rav Elazar that one hair would get you the death penalty. B'malakit levanos metoch shchoros. If that one hair is white. Meaning, when it's black hair, if you have black hair, so you're plucking out hairs, stam, because you want to, whatever, they're annoying you, whatever it is. So then two is considered significant. And Rav Yehuda, and Rav Elazar holds one, but Rav Yehuda holds two. Says the Gemara, if one of them is white, then plucking it out is definitely chayv according to everybody, because that's significant, because you don't want to look, you don't want people embarrassed by having gray hairs. So if you have a gray hair, and you pluck it out, that everyone would agree would be chayiv. That in that scenario, one hair is considered significant according to everybody, and therefore you're chayiv for plucking out one hair if that one hair is white. Even though the Rav Yehuda normally holds you have to pluck out two hairs for it to be significant, but when it comes to the one hair being white, that one hair is now significant because no one wants to look white, therefore it's considered a chashav of a ma'isa. You not just remove hair, but you remove the white hair. And the Gemara says, the truth is, davar zeh af b'chol aser, it's aser for men to pluck out a white hair, because that's acting like a woman. There are certain activities that you're not allowed to do, that it's feminine activities, and one of them is plucking out a white hair, which is the place can talk about. From this, you'd see that dyeing your hair, for a man to dye his hair would be a problem. So the place can discuss it. But this, you see, you're not allowed to pluck out a white hair, even during the weekday, because it's leSilvash, Gever leSimlas Isha. Okay, Tanya will run through to the next Amid. Tanya. If you have a fingernail that's completely detached, it's almost off, it's detached most of the way, and similarly cuticles, like skin that's peeled off, and it's just hanging there, beyond mutter, you can pluck it out with your hand. With your hand, it's fine. Beyond mutter, bekli chayv chatas. So if you have a fingernail that's almost off, you could use your finger, yourself, you could just pull it off with your hand, that's mutter. But if you use a scissor, you're chayv chatas. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Do we ever find a situation where if you use your hand, it's mutter, and if you use a vessel, it's chayv chatas? We usually don't go from opposite extremes. We usually go like, oh, it's mutter, and if you use a vessel, it's derabonon. Or it's derabonon, and then it's chayv chatas. We usually don't go from like mutter to chayv chatas. So the Gemara says, miyak amidu b'chi chayv chatas, beyond mutter el chachila, do we ever jump from being mutter to chayv chatas? So hachi kamer, this is what we meant to say. Pirush ruban, if the fingernail cuticle are almost fully detached, biad mutter, you could completely pluck it away with your hands. We'll see why in a moment. Bekli, and if you use a vessel, it's patar avalas, it's only rabbinic. That makes sense. Mutter to rabbinic. Loi pirush ruban, but if the cuticle or nail is not majority detached, it's stam, you're just cutting your nails, then biyad patar avalaser, if you use your fingers, it's rabbinic, and bekli chayv chatas, if you use a vessel, it's chayv chatas, amr avalaser, halacha v'shem alazer, that is the halacha. Amr abrachan, amr abyechonon, v'ushe pinshu klapi mailo, umitzartin oisa, you're only allowed to pull off with your hand, majority of your cuticle, or majority of your nail, if it's coming down, if it's being shaped downward, meaning the cut is downward, because then it causes pain. But if it's that, it's cut upwards, meaning that it's completely detached on the bottom, it's just not detached from the top, then it's considered doesn't cause any discomfort, meaning if they disconnected starting like near the fingertip and are peeling back towards the base of the nail, it causes a lot of pain. That's why you're allowed to pluck it off. But if it's starting from the base and it's disconnected and it's just connected on the top, where plucking it off will not cause, it's not causing you any discomfort, then you're not allowed to. So the reason why you're allowed to pull off a cuticle that's the majority off of your finger is because it causes you pain. If it's not causing you pain, then it's not allowed. Let's just finish up. We said in the Mishnah there are three things that, according to Rav Elazar, is chayv chatas, and according to the Rabbanon, is only to Rabbanon, and that's a woman who braids her hair, paints her eyes, and fixes her hair with a comb. So the question is, what malacha are these things? Godelis kochechas upokeses mishum maich mechayva. What malacha are these that Rav Eliezer holds as chayv? Amrab oven, amrab yosi, rab chanina. Godeles, if you braid your hair, it's mishum oregis, it's weaving. Like you're weaving, like a string, you're weaving hair. Kocheles, painting your eyes, is mishum kosevis, is writing. Instead of writing on paper, you're writing on the eye. And pokeses, what do you call it, combing, is mishum teveh, is spinning. Just like you comb or spin wool, so to combing the hair. As the Gemara says. So therefore you're chayv for weaving, writing, and combing, and spinning. Amr Rabbanan Kamei Rav, the Rabbanan said, V'chiderech Ariga B'kach, V'derech Ksiva B'kach, V'derech Tviya B'kach. Is this the normal way to weave? No. Is this the normal way to write? No. Is this the normal way to spin? No. This can't be. These are not the normal way to do any of these malachos. So rather, El Amr Ravavo, L'didi Mefarsh L'minei De Rav Yosi Rav Chanina. This is the pshakor on the next page. We'll end with this. Kocheles, if you paint your eye, it's Meshum Tzavas, it's dying. The same way you could dye wool, you could dye your eyes. D-Y-E, dye, meaning to cause it to be a change in color. That makes sense. Gaidela supaikeses, and combing and braiding the hair is mishambayne, is building. It's building a braid. It's building. V'chiderech binim b'kas, the Gemara says, wait, is that normal to build? That's the normal way to build? Where do we find that building, that braiding a hair is considered building? The Gemara says, yeah, yes, it's considered normal building. K'didarish Hashem b'menasya, v'yiv en Hashem alikim esatzela, Hashem built the side that he made Chava, he built Chava. What does that mean? And Malam Shekila Kadosh Baruch Hu LeChava Viva Eitzel Adam. The Medrash famously says that Hashem braided Chava's hair, and it says he built her because he built her a braid. Shekim Bekarcha Yam, because there are certain villages in the sea, Karin LeKliyasa Binyasa, that they call a braider of hair a builder. So you see from the Medrash that braiding hair is considered building. We'll end with this. Tanim Shem Rolazar Oimer, Gedelas, Keicheles, Upekeses, Laatzma, Ptur, Lechaverta, Chayeves. If a woman braids her own hair, paints her own eyes, or combs her own hair, she's potter, because it's not normal to do it to yourself. But if you do it to your friend, then it's Chayev Chatas. Bechein, Shem Rolazar Oimer, Shem Rolazar, Ishaloi Tavis, Serek Alpanem, Rodeshay Sevas. And now that we're saying that painting your eye with makeup is considered dying, that's what he used to say. Ishaloi Tavis, Serek Alpanem, a person should not put like a makeup, what do you call it, like rouge or whatever, the makeup on their face, Mishum Sevas, because it's considered dying, and that's it's a form of dying, which is usur on Shabbos. All right, we'll stop here, we'll pick this up tomorrow, position.